Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game live at Jack Daniel's Barrel House today. It's Preds Game Day, brought to you by Social Furniture. Shop today to get rewarded with social cash back. Buy $1,000, get $125 cash back on your Social Furniture gift card. Shop local, shop social in West Nashville. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. We say hello to our buddy Adam Sparks, Knoxville News Sentinel up there in Knoxville. Adam, been a while. How are you?
Doing pretty good, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing fantastic. We're just having an interesting conversation. I think you're the perfect person to ask this to because you've lived in Middle Tennessee. You cover the Vols now. And it's, do you believe that the Vols are more popular at this point in the state than the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Easy answer. I think that's the case for any time that the Vols are really good. Like you said, I lived in West Tennessee for 20 years. I lived in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. I'm in year two of East Tennessee. Across the state, that seems to be the case. Now, I think you can make the argument that it swaps a little bit just in Nashville. But the rest of the state, I don't think there's any question. If the Vols are down and the Titans are up, it's a little closer. But otherwise, if the Vols are good, the Titans would have to be in the Super Bowl, I think, to catch them. I think that's just a simple fact.
Well, the Vols are up right now. They beat Florida last week for the first time since 2016. They improved to 4-0 with the off week and headed to LSU next week. When you watch Hendon Hooker, his Heisman odds continue to go in his favor. I believe he's the fourth favorite now to win the Heisman Trophy. Do you believe that if he continues to play this way, he could have a legitimate case for it?
I mean, I'm a Heisman voter. If this was an end of September award, he'd probably be on my ballot. But it's not. It's an end of the year award, and in this era, the way you get into the way you get to New York as a finalist, especially the quarterback, is you got to have great stats. I think he'll probably finish the year with great stats. I mean, right now he leads the SEC in total offense and in passer rating. That'll get you there. Then you've got to have your team in the conversation of the playoff, the national title picture. They'd have to beat Alabama or Georgia to be in that. And then you've got to have a so-called Heisman moment. I don't love that condition, but that's just sort of what it is. And for him to have a Heisman moment, it probably would have to happen in the Georgia or Bama game. So he's in it now. The Bama game in a couple weeks and the Georgia game a few weeks after that will determine if he stays in it.
Now, Adam, I'm watching that game this past weekend, and I've seen several of UT's games. And, the offense is explosive. It's just as explosive or even more than any other team out there in college football. And it's led by Hooker. And they've been able to do some wonderful things on in that Josh Heupel offense. But what concerns me is the defense, and more importantly, the defensive line. They can't generate any pressure with just rushing four. And it seems like when they blitz, they still can't get any pressure. Will this ultimately, you believe, be their Achilles heel?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the debate is what's the bigger issue. Mm-hmm. The pass rush, the front seven, how much, like you said, that you have to use of the front seven. Because when they have brought pressure, they did in the pit game, but kind of what you mentioned, that was a lot, some with linebackers, a lot with safeties and blitz and corners in that game. Is it that, or is the bigger issue coverage? I saw a lot of guys running around, or maybe not even running around, standing still a lot in zone coverage against Florida, where it looked like they were covering air, and receivers running pretty free. I thought there was a lot of miscommunication. Linebackers didn't help when they would drop into coverage. I think the big issue for Tennessee is that I think their pass rush, especially within the scheme, mm-hmm. Can get better. I think there's some personnel there. There's things in the scheme they can use. They showed that in the Pitt game. I don't know that their coverage is going to get significantly better. This, it's not like they're going to get a lockdown corner, you know, that shows up on campus next week. What they have is what they have, and they're going to have to work with it. Last year, they had similar issues. They got better in the second half of the season. You know, if the defense can get incrementally better, that may be the difference between 8-4 season and a 10-2 season. I think it's as simple as that, because I don't see the offense not scoring on everybody they have left on their schedule. They'll score on Alabama and Georgia. They'll probably still lose those games, but they'll score on everybody else. That defense obviously is going to hold them back, if anything.
Now, I mean, if you look throughout the SEC, in you're talking skill guys, wide receivers or tight ends, very seldom are you going, at least over the last, say, 5-6 years, you didn't look at Tennessee. You looked at Georgia. You looked at Alabama. You looked at Ole Miss, those schools. But it seems like Tennessee this year have got at least 3 legitimate pass catchers on their team. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a debate, I think, for a little while with Josh Heupel. It is with the quarterback. It is with wide receivers. Are these really good players, or is this a system that you know, good players can benefit the most in? Because Jalin Hyatt was fine under Jeremy Pruitt, but he's really good now. Cedric Tillman, we saw nothing of in Pruitt's offense, and he's, you know, he was a preseason All-American coming into this year. And then you sort of further that point maybe last week when they lose Cedric Tillman, arguably one of the best receivers in college football, and they plug Ramel Keaton in, which, unless you follow Tennessee, you didn't know who Ramel Keaton was, just sort of a typical backup, and he comes in and looks does about what Cedric Tillman was doing. So, I guess that's a good thing for Tennessee, obviously, that they can go to their twos and they can look like ones. That speaks well of the system. I do think Cedric Tillman's going to have to be back and healthy if they're going to have any chance of having that sort of special 9-3, 10-2 type year. I'd say right now he's questionable at best for LSU. I would say he's much more probable for Alabama, but he may be well enough for LSU next week. We'll see.
We're talking to Adam Sparks, covering the Tennessee Vols. So, Adam, a question for what's happening in your circles. Over here, people are so excited, they're already starting to talk about, hey, 10-2, where would that get you? Could that maybe get you into a discussion here if it's the right 10-2? How is it over your way? Are you hearing that a lot? And what's your sense? Is it maybe pump the brakes and let's see how this plays out? Or do you think legitimately that's a good, that's a plausible scenario?
Well, I mean, I think by nature the Tennessee fan base overreacts.
No.
And that goes both ways too,
yes.
Right? It's fire the coach on Sunday, or it's make your reservations for the national title game on Sunday. You know, one of the two. I think things are a little tempered now. I will say that a lot of the emails, tweets, questions that I got right after the Florida game was about the defense. And what's wrong with the defense? And you think, why would that be after that huge win they've waited so long for? Would it be on the defense? And the way that I interpret that is people are seeing what could keep this season from being a phenomenal season, and it would be the defense. In other words, hey, that was great, but you can't beat Alabama with that defense. You can't beat Georgia with that defense. You've got to get that fixed before that. And that sort of tells me that that the standard has been raised, or at least the expectations have been raised. You know, if they could drop one to LSU and Alabama and Georgia, or just drop one somewhere else along the way. If you're 9-3, you're probably going to the Citrus Bowl, which is great. That's a great step for Josh Heupel's program. If you could lose those two and you're at 10-2, if the playoff thing works the way that it could with Georgia and Alabama, you could be in the Sugar Bowl. 10-2 would also get you, you know, I've seen projections of the Orange Bowl as an at-large. So, there's a lot of things, those things on the table. It's just, there's such a small sample size, but the way that people look at it, if you can beat Pittsburgh and you can beat Florida, then you can beat LSU. If you can beat LSU, you can beat Kentucky. If you can beat Kentucky, you can win, Missouri, South Carolina, Vandy at the end of the year, and you're 10-2. But you can have a bad day, and if you have a bad day, you can lose any of those things.
You know, it's interesting, too. You get to watch LSU this week in an intriguing game against Auburn for a lot of different reasons, right? Everybody wants to see how much Brian Kelly can get them to improve week to week in his first year. And then you've got everybody kind of anticipating the train wreck at some point. When is the shoe going to drop down at Auburn? So what an interesting game to sort of watch as you sit back and enjoy the bye week.
Yeah, I want to see if Jaden Daniels is healthy. I want to see if that LSU thing starts to come together. I mean, LSU is a mobile quarterback, if he's healthy, like Florida did. That could be a problem for Tennessee. LSU has much better receivers than Florida, which I think could be a huge issue for Tennessee. And, you know, I want to see where the confidence is, because what if LSU wins that, I think they'll come in at 4-1. Or they would host Tennessee at 4-1. They're not they'd probably be ranked at that point. I don't know that they're good enough. 4-1, I don't think would reflect quite what they are. But the athletes on that team, I think it would be accurate to say they were that good. So Brian Kelly has a team that can, I think, probably be up and down, but on the right day with the athletes that he has, and he's a really good coach. Could be a really, really good team. And Tennessee would have to hit them at the right time to win that game. It's a toss-up game for good reason in Vegas, because I think that one could go either way.
Adam, it's been great to catch up. Enjoy your weekend with the bye, and then we'll be watching closely when LSU hosts Tennessee.
I'm really curious. What was the vote on Vols versus Titans?
It wasn't a really vote.
Yeah,
it's it's kind of nebulous. It's hard to really equate that. I mean, blame Rex Road. Rex Road's the one that put it out
but
there.
But we did say, Adam, more so in the surrounding areas, Nashville, in the surrounding areas. So we knew, if you're talking about the state of Tennessee, then yes, Vol fans overwhelmingly are more excited about the Vols than the Titans. But just here in this area.
Yeah, Davidson County, you probably give the Titans a pretty big edge. But as you if you go more surrounding, the further out you go, the more orange you get.
Exactly.
It depends on area code. That's the best way of putting it.
Exactly. Yep.
Good stuff, Adam.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Adam Sparks, Knoxville News Sentinel over in Knoxville, Tennessee. When we come back, we'll have more. We'll talk a little Preds. We'll give you a little sneak peek of what the lineup looks like tonight against Tampa. And we'll do a whole lot more. We got trivia today as well, so stay tuned. This is 102.5 The Game.
Tune in for NFL pregame this Sunday live from Twin Peaks at 6134 Galleria Boulevard in Cool Springs. You can join Jared Stillman, the dancing Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders from 9:30 to 11:30 prior to the Titans taking on the Colts. NFL pregame is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, my favorite, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company here at 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Jarrett Mason with you. Appreciate Adam Sparks for joining us. Some of you wanted to weigh in on our discussion that the morning show actually had about, are the Vols more popular than the Tennessee Titans in this area? It was a pretty quick answer for Adam, but I know Herb has been waiting patiently on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He wants to weigh in. Hello, Herb.
Yeah,
you there?
Herbie,
well, Herb, unfortunately, you have to call back. Your phone is cutting in and out. So give us a call back, and we'll see if we can hear you better, because we'd love to hear what you have to say. Some texters on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. William from Dover says, I think around Nashville the Titans are more popular. If you go out into the rural areas of the state, it bleeds orange.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's far off. Viking Matt says, I adopted Vandy as my second team since I lived in Nashville, so it's like cheering for a little brother that wants to play with the older and bigger brothers.
There you go. Hey, we'll
this
take
quite
you.
Not good enough.
We'll take you. We'll take you.
I like that.
Come on in.
Hey, I've adopted Vanderbilt. Yeah, like, I like him.
Who are you with? VU.
That's right.
Is that y'all's slogan?
Who you with goes back before James Franklin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's y'all thing? Who you with? VU.
It's not official.
VU.
There was a guy named Todd Suttles who was the strength and conditioning coach.
Uh-huh.
And he was a good singer, too. Uh-huh. He's a really funny, great character. And he came up with the who you with. It was during Woody Ball.
Oh.
And of course, they didn't win a whole lot of games. So it wasn't. But people kind of liked it. So It's kind of stuck around.
You need just something. Like,
Anchor Down was a James Franklin.
Yeah.
And that was never before James Franklin.
I like
and
Anchor Down.
And that's kind of stuck around, even though people like J.R. Lynn, who have an appreciation for history, they Anchor Down is really not a good strategy in a Navy fight. Like, if you're going to be – if you put your anchor down, you can't go anywhere,
that's
so you're kind of a sitting duck for the cannons and whatever they come up. And so Frank was like, I don't want to hear that.
Exactly.
We got a good slogan going here.
Anchor down. Yeah. That means we're going to stop them. We right here. We plant it right here. Yeah. Y'all ain't getting past us.
Right.
I like it.
Yeah. I'm here for it. Yeah. I was actually telling somebody a Woody Woodenhofer story the other day. It's the most famous one.
Oh, man, there's a lot of them. But are you talking about the radio
Joe,
show
I'm
one?
Sorry that I said
yes. That was definitely right up. Now, there's some ones that behind the scenes happened that really were not public. That those were just as funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was one unique guy.
The late great Woody Woodenhofer. Yeah. Let's see. Justin says, longtime Titans and Vols fan. I've been in Middle Tennessee since 2005. Grew up in West Tennessee. It's not even close. More Vols fans in Middle and in Tennessee as a whole.
I mean, I wouldn't dispute it whether it was more fans as a whole, UT fans, but the excitement, because if you contrast both teams, you know, and you look, okay, since 1999, let's just take 99, throw 97, 98 out of the window because we were in Memphis or in
transition.
Vanderbilt.
Yeah, team in
transition.
Yeah.
I think since 99, and that was UT won the national championship in 99, didn't they?
The 98 season.
98, 97, okay.
Yeah, well, it was January 99 when they actually played the game.
So after that, I think as if you just take it from the 99 season on, I think there's been, and I could be wrong here, there's been more to be excited about with the Titans than there has been with the Vols. The Vols been in turmoil with coaches and just the my alarm's going off in my house. Oh my goodness!
You need to take care of that.
I know what it is. But Ginger. it's just you know, more than likely it's the dogs. Just those two teams. They've been. I think the Titans have been more stable for longer since that time period than the Vols have. You've been able to get more excited about the Titans, I think, than you have been about the Vols. Now, I can't, the years that I was going, I can't, you know, talk about those years.
Right, because I do think there was a lull in there. But the new stadium and the immediate run to the Super Bowl was a game changer. Because I think in 97 and 98, there was a real worry that, hey, what's going on? They can't really get any connection. The Tennessee Oilers really could not connect. They did not have a good feel at the time for marketing, PR.
They had a great fight song.
They botched a lot of performances, where they got out and they would unveil something and it just didn't go well. There was bad weather or something. Nothing was going well. They tried the Memphis thing, which flopped horribly, right? Nothing went well in terms of fan connection there. Then in the following year, they really couldn't even fill the stadium for the Vanderbilt games.
Right.
Right? The games at Vanderbilt Stadium, even though it was a pretty decent team, there just wasn't that real buzz. And people were looking around going, you know, why can't they really get anything going? This is the NFL. You know, at least a lot of people were thinking that way. But it changed overnight. Once they had the Titans name and they started winning immediately, it was just a huge wave. And Tennessee remained a powerhouse for another 5 or 6 years there, but steadily they got out of the national picture a little bit. And meanwhile, the Titans were getting a little bit more established. So even when they weren't as good, we're talking about just from a Nashville perspective.
Well,
that's when it kind of flipped.
I think that, you know, that's where the feels like 98, you know, thing comes in. Like the Vols fans get all like, oh, hey, are we back? And are the Vols back? He wasn't ready. Sorry.
Well, Vols are back.
There you go.
And before long, we'll be taking a bite out of everybody we play's ass. Thank you.
The
Vols are back.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil. Okay. Appreciate it.
Well, you know, the other thing that's happened over that time, period of time we're discussing is little by little, people are less likely to go to a game in person.
Right.
For all the different reasons, the TV reasons, the budgetary reasons, all of that stuff. It's definitely a different era.
I have to read this text. Alden in Nashville says, Davidson County itself probably has more Titans fans, have many friends who are UT and Titans fans, but would still give it to the Titans. This is Alden from inside D. Mace's house.
I guess my dogs are going to bite you, Alden. That's a good one.
You know what I do find, though? When I go to a Titans game, I feel like there's a lot of people from surrounding counties that are in the seats, especially in the upper deck. I feel like these are fans that I don't see. Like in a smaller venue, I feel like sometimes you have a nucleus of fans that you kind of right. come to familiar. And they're wearing a high school jersey or something from that sort of gives away that they're local. But I feel like there's people that make a pretty good trek to come see Titans games.
Yeah,
is that
I
fair
do
to
too.
Say?
Yeah,
like they've really tried to market throughout the entire state.
But I think this text is true. Just a few years back, the apathy for the Titans was a big deal. They mm-hmm. almost lost the city. Vols fans stay true. I can't really argue with
no,
that.
No, I think that's true
because I think college football fans are more. They will tolerate a lot more. Than say like pro fans because it's not just I went there, I got an education there, I met lifelong yeah. friends there, and,
yes.
and whatever the case may be. Or if you didn't go there, you're just like, I grew up watching them, you know, I went to the game with my parents and all this other
yeah,
stuff.
You got
so
these
there's
childhood
more
memories, yeah.
exactly.
Coming up next, the Predators are in action tonight against Tampa, start of a back to back. I guess technically they'll be the visiting team tonight, even though they're playing here at Bridgestone Arena. We'll look at the rosters for that game. And also, the Athletics done their predictions this year for the Nashville Predators. But first, Derek, tell us about BetUS.
And that I am. It's the beginning of the sport week. Thursday is, to me, always the beginning of the sport week. This is when you need to start getting your bets in because it's Thursday night football, NFL, or you got college football that comes on Thursday night. So the best way to get your bets in is to go to BetUS.com, which is back for their 28th year of NFL action with the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%. BetUS offers their members the opportunity to cash in on all their favorite leagues, including NFL, NBA, MLB, and more. They've got hundreds of new casino games, including the coolest European slot, and their dealers are there waiting for you at the table. These are live dealers, so they're ready and waiting. You need a sport book with integrity and longevity. You need to know that you will be getting paid. You need a sport book that offers everything, and I mean everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horse racing, esports, yes, video games, people, and all kinds of crazy bets. So call today at 1-800-79-BETUS. That's 1-800-79-BETUS, and they will walk you through setting up your account. Nobody, and I mean nobody in the industry, gives better bonuses than BetUS. Join now and mention the greatest radio show, sports radio show, in town across the U.S., 102.5, and you can get up to 200% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. So head on over to BetUS.com and join today. That's BetUS, where the games begin.
Chase William D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason hanging out. Bridgestone Arena, Predators and the Lightning here tonight. It is a Predators game day here at Bridgestone Arena, and that is presented by Social Furniture and Charlotte Pike. Shop today to get rewarded with social cash back. Buy $1,000, get $125 cash back on your Social Furniture gift card. Shop local, shop social in West Nashville. We are going to talk Preds, but we do have our trivia question for today. And so you must give us three of the four, but this is a trivia question. We'll do this off the air, 615-737-1025. On the line, a pair of tickets to opening night here in Smashville against the Dallas Stars. Can you name three of the four players on the current roster that have played for all three Predators head coaches in their history. So they played for Barry Trotz, Peter Laviolette, and John Hines. You must give Nick three out of the four of the current players that have played for all three head coaches in Predators history. 615-737-1025, the first to get that right. We'll go see the Preds take on the Dallas Stars here at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, October 13th, because hockey is back here in Smashville. The roster is out, Willie, for tonight. I want to pass this along as well. Tomorrow, after the game, they're going to have the Global Series send-off that I know is going to be a lot of fun. The game starts at 5 o'clock, so don't forget the early puck drop tomorrow. Then they're going to have player interviews on the bench at the end of the game. They're going to show behind the glass on Fang Vision about 8:20. They'll do another player interview at 8:45. The team is going to walk through the concourse, and then 9:15, that's when they're going to get ready for departure when you guys will head to Switzerland. I have been told that one Coach Pekka Rinne, is going to address the crowd. So Pekka will be a part of things as well. But the game tonight, got the rosters out, and it looks like the goalies tonight, Willie, I think is kind of interesting for the Predators.
Yeah, they put the goalies out there, and so it will be Kevin Lankinen and Connor Ingram. I was actually on a radio show in Edmonton yesterday, and it was a lot of league talk, and one of the things that they saw. Now, think about Edmonton's perspective, right? Mike Smith has retired. They are going to have new goalies, and they need depth. The goalies have been a big question mark for them. They've got the superstars in McDavid and Draisaitl. They signed Jack Campbell, right, to play. They picked him up from the Maple Leafs. So they're always looking for the bargain. So what were they asking me? Who's going to be the backup, and then what happens to the extra goalie? There is an extra goalie here. If it's Kevin Lankinen, if it's Devin Cooley, if it's Connor Ingram, they don't have enough room in Milwaukee. You know UC Saros is going to be here, and you know Yaroslav Askarov is going to be in Milwaukee. So you got a backup here, and you've got another guy in Milwaukee, and you got, you know, five really good goalies, plus Vomachka, who's a, you know, is another guy who's, you know, got some decent talent, decent tools. He's really not in the picture now. So they were asking me, is Connor Ingram going to get waived, and would he be a really attractive pickup for somebody? I think that is possible.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, because I still think Lankinen has got the advantage because he was the guy that they went out and signed, and he's got the guaranteed contract. Connor Ingram doesn't make as much money. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, but you see them both showcase tonight. So Lankinen was pretty good in his first outing in the game on Monday night. So let's see how he backs it up tonight. Not quite as much of an advantage, I think, in the D. You've got Josi and Ekholm, who played together at practice yesterday, and I wonder if that's something we'll see tonight.
Yeah, they're both in the lineup. Juuso Parsonen is in the lineup tonight, which I think is interesting. He's had a very good camp, and I think he's making a case right now.
I would venture to say, be very surprising if he's not with the group that goes to Europe.
Yeah.
He'll be in that group for sure.
Afanasyev not in the lineup tonight. So, and I kind of feel like those two, it's going to be one of those two that are going to make the roster between Parsonen and Afanasyev. You agree with that?
And I think, as we talked about yesterday, I think Parsonen has got the leg up right now. I do think they really like Afanasyev. And remember, they may not have to make that decision when they leave. They could, in theory, take them both to Switzerland. We'll find out. I think I would imagine you'd probably see Afanasyev tomorrow, since he's not in there tonight. I think you're probably not going to have a lot of the guys playing back-to-back games. You might have some of the younger guys do that. So it'll be an interesting thing to see what the roster looks like tomorrow as opposed to tonight.
Which two fits better to what the Preds are trying to do?
I think with the role that they would want that guy to play, I think Parsonen, I could see being a really good force on the bottom six, and that's really what you're looking at. The other thing to keep an eye on is – is Tomasino going to jump up and grab that second line spot? We all think he's going to get the first crack at it, but he's got to earn it, right? He can't just and you could earn it on day one, but by day 21, you run cold and you got to try something else. So that's something to watch for tonight. Is who does Ryan Johansson play with? Does he play with Niederreiter and Tomasino again, or do they make a change on that line? It's not anything close to a full roster tonight. I think you're going to see, if you look at the names on there, you're going to see a lot of guys are going to end up in Milwaukee, but
sure,
some depth guys.
But, I mean, Tolvanen's in. So the
Cody Glass is in there tonight. Cody Glass is a very interesting
one. John Leonard is in. Cole Smith back. But, yeah, Michael McCarron. So
Zach Sanford is another guy that I'd like to see a little bit more from. I'd like to see him, you know, flex his muscles a little bit on what he can do.
On the other side of Tampa, with Tampa, Stamkos, Kucherov in tonight. Victor Hedman in tonight. Former Predator Grant Mismatch, or farmhand, is in.
He was the guy in the trade for Ryan McDonagh.
Yep. Corey Perry is in tonight. Alex Killorn, Braden Point. So you're going to see a lot of the main guys for Tampa.
Those are the main dudes right there.
Yeah. And then Brian Elliott and Jack LaFontaine, the goalies for them tonight for Tampa. So there you go. All right. I believe we have a winner to our trivia question. Joseph got it right. The three of the four players on the roster now that have played for all three Predators head coaches. Who did he say, Nick? Who are the three? We've lost Nick.
He said Ekholm, Forsberg, and Sissons, I believe.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well done.
Josi would have.
Roman Josi is the fourth.
Is the fourth. So there you go. Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg, Colton Sissons, and Matthias Ekholm, the only four left that have played for all three head coaches. So congratulations. You're going to opening night against the Dallas Stars.
Cool.
Coming up next, we will look ahead to what Stillman and Company, as Jared sets up lights, what they have going on. He's a scout. He's Coach Jared. He's getting his Twitter account back, and now he's setting up lights. He can do it all. We'll do that coming up next. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 the game. But can you beat Vegas this football season? I try to. Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. They have no fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond setting lines for American sports, just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at the Superbook in Las Vegas. I like the Dolphins tonight. +3.5 on the road. I think they continue their winning ways in Cincinnati. Even though I think Cincinnati wins the uniform battle, I think Miami will win the game. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. Download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit Superbook Sports or visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Chase William, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We're live at Bridgestone Arena. Predators taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight in the first of two. This game, of course, was originally to be played in Tampa. I moved it here, but one thing the Predators and the Lightning are doing tonight is they're having an auction to help with Florida hurricane relief efforts. So text PREDS to 76278. To view the items into bid, some things that you can bid on, signed Nashville Predators jerseys, signed Tampa Bay Lightning jerseys, and a trip to Tampa to watch the Preds take on the Lightning on December 8th. So some cool things that you can bid on and help hurricane relief down in Florida. Earlier today, Todd Downing addressed the media, and we were discussing this, that Teron Davenport basically asked him, you know, kind of his thoughts of people that are calling for his job, and I'll be honest with you, I was pretty impressed with that answer. Here's what Todd Downing had to say. Maybe
Todd has.
I don't know if you follow, like, all the things being said about the team, but, you know, as soon as there's a struggle offensively, they say, fire Todd Downing. You know, when you're getting blamed for everything, like, how do you handle that and just continue to keep your head down and do what you have to do?
Yeah, I will tell you very bluntly, I can't pay attention to all the stuff that's going on out there and all the opinions about me. Everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I respect the fact that people have jobs to do and people to find to place blame on and all that. I know that I'm responsible for the offense. I know that there are certain things that come with this role, responsibilities, critiques, and kind of constant evaluation that comes with this role. But I can't afford to let somebody else's opinion cloud what Coach Vrabel thinks of the job I'm doing, or what John Robinson thinks of the job I'm doing, or frankly, what the players in the locker room think of the job I'm doing. I owe it to them to give my best. And in that process, I really try hard to maintain my identity. I work my tail off, and I do it for, a bigger audience than trying to, get the praise of man. I don't really do this job to be celebrated in the media. I do this job so that I can be the man I'm called to be in the role that I have, and hopefully I can continue to improve in that at every turn and help get this offense where we want it to be.
Todd Downing, when asked about his job, basically, and again, I like the answer. I think that he owns some things. He owns some things maybe he shouldn't have to own. But for, anyone's going to say that, I don't pay attention to it. I can't pay attention to it. Yeah, you do. You know. I mean, it's human nature. You know the noise that is out there. Now, it's what you do with it.
Exactly.
Is you can tell when people just get stuck obsessing over it and can't let it go. Right now, I kind of feel like he's just pushing it to the side.
Well, he has to, because you got to understand there's several dynamics going on here. Tim Kelly's in the building.
Yep.
Not to say that Tim Kelly's going to take his job, but Tim Kelly's in the building, and he has a history with Mike Vrabel. And Mike Vrabel brought him in here to help with the passing game. So, if you're not doing the necessary things to make this a good offense, then, eventually Vrabel's going to have to, go in another direction. And it seems like the easiest landing spot would be Tim Kelly, because he's there. They know each other. He knows what he wants from an offense or whatnot. But, listen, I say it now. I said it back then. I will continue to say it in the future. A coordinator is only as good as the personnel, and as good as you execute the play. If a coordinator comes here again, Bill Seifert, name any of these great offensive minds, name any of them. They come here to this Tennessee Titan team and they call plays, and guys are not doing what they're supposed to do. It's not going to work. It's just, I don't care what you do, it's not going to work. I can call the best play in the world for the right time, but if guys don't execute it the way it's supposed to be, that play is not going to work. People talk about his play, that whole, reverse with the tight end, sweep with the tight end. That play is not designed to get 100 yards. It's designed to get you the first down.
Right.
Where if a guy that's sitting there on the edge, if he does exactly what he's supposed to do, which is block down, then that play works and you get 2 yards. It was third and one. You get to 2 yards. Nobody's complaining. You complained about, why is it, you seem so predictable. Why are you running Derrick Henry third and one? Why didn't you run Derrick Henry third and one? Well, they ran Derrick Henry third and one last time, and they didn't get it.
Right.
Is that a bad play? No. Did they block it wrong? Yes. But no one's going to say anything about that. You're only as good as the execution. The offensive coordinator is only as good as the execution.
And at the same time, I do think every offensive coordinator knows that when things aren't going well, he will be the easiest guy to blame everything on.
Sure.
And I think you heard that in his answer. He knows that it just goes with the job description, and he has to put that aside and not let that cloud his ability to move forward and try to do the best thing that he can. It's like the hitting coach in baseball. Show me a team that goes into a team hitting slump. who are they going to flock to? The hitting coach, which is the most thankless job in Major League Baseball. At least the offensive coordinator in football can get hot, maybe because he has great players sometimes, and get a head coaching job out of it.
Exactly.
Right? That's the double-edged sword, is you probably, like the quarterback, get a lot of credit when things are going well, maybe more credit than you deserve, and you get more blame than you deserve when it's not going well. So I really liked his answer. I thought he showed that he cared. He didn't just brush off the question and act like it was no big deal. Why are you asking me this? I think he understands the weight that's going on and where the team is right now. But let's also remember, too, that he's had a lot thrown at him, a lot of curveballs, issues with the offensive line. He didn't trade A.J. Brown. The team traded A.J. Brown. He's trying to make it work with Treylon Burks. The passing game so far, statistically, has been really good. The biggest thing that hasn't happened yet is the running game. And so that's the next chapter coming up on Sunday.
You got to have hippo skin. He's just got to have that thick skin where it just doesn't penetrate, man.
Mikey on Twitter says, news flash to Todd Downing, God isn't happy with your play calling either.
Do we know that to be true?
Exactly. Twitter's just so wrong.
Can we confirm
that? But his audience is the owner, the GM, the head coach, his players, and then it is the fan base. Because eventually, you know, if the job's not going – the way it needs to go, the fan base will get louder and louder and louder. And what happens? The owner ends up asking the head coach, you need to make a change.
Right.
You know, so.
That's, to me, how it happens sometimes. The owner, who doesn't really know football that much, they're the ones that hear the noise more than the actual coaches.
Let me ask you this, Derek. Mm-hmm. Bud Adams is still around and still the owner. Is Todd Downing still the offensive coordinator?
That's a good one.
I mean, he was a wild card.
That's a good one, man. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean,
now he never did it. No. I don't think midstream, did he? Did they make a coordinator change in the middle of the season?
Not when I was here. They've never. Not when I was here. They never.
Not offensive defense.
Coaching changes, but no.
Right. But that was like at the end of the year. That was at the end of the year when I was here.
Chris Palmer, he's right. Chris Palmer.
Well, I wasn't here with Chris Palmer.
But was that a Bud Adams or was that just a Mike? Was it Mike Munchak that was the coach?
Munchak.
I don't know that was dictated from the top, especially at that stage of life for Mr. Adams. I think he was really getting up there.
True. Derek, is everything good?
I don't know for sure.
Is everything good at your house?
Oh yeah, everything's fine.
We had
everything's
fine.
Wes in Clarksville.
Dogs okay?
Wes in Clarksville wants to know why there's a Dylan Radins poster in your room. So that's a wall.
Hey, how do you find that poster?
Stillman and Company coming up next. They'll continue this discussion on Todd Downing. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
We out.